This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebas Before and After. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 3. Today we are... Hey, do I hear sleigh bells? It's almost spring. Oh, that's right. Today we are talking to the winners of the December Zebra Review Monthly Contest theme of glitter and gloss. And we not only discuss their winning works of art, but also choosing the right mediums for your pieces. Jen and Amanda with Invention Sisters share a great refinishing tip on how to stage effectively. We'll find out what Velma with Renovel by Velma, Lee with Lee O'Gorman Home, and Sherry with The Brass Walnut are working on in their studios this week. On the Beginner's Bucket, Chloe Kempster with Macy's House answers this week's question, it's scary to try bold colors. What if people will not buy the piece? Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Hey everyone, just a quick thank you for making this podcast such a success. We are super excited that our podcast remains in the top 2% of the art and design category. It's because of our guests, you all, our listeners, and listeners' reviews that make this possible. Speaking of reviews, we want to encourage you to leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. To thank you for taking the time to leave your review, we will send a free brush your way as long as you screenshot your review, email it to me, laneball@enjoyzebra.com, and it must be emailed to me by this Thursday, March 10th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please provide your full name and mailing address. Reviews make a big difference to keep our podcast at the top and help us to continue to reach more listeners. Man, sorry to use the word review so often, but not sure there's another word for review. Now to the Zebra Review winners. Oh, sorry, I said it again. In December, we ended our year of the Zebra Review Monthly Contest with a theme of glitter and gloss. Pretty much the ideal theme for December, don't you think? Well, today we are highlighting the winners of that contest. They are Julia with Creative with Sense winning first, Karen with Emporium K Designs winning second, and Amy with Pinello Designs winning third. Congratulations, winners. Your pieces represented the theme so well and were refinished beautifully.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Lane.
Well, for our listeners, to put a timestamp on our recording, this is the last week in February. With that in mind, I wanted to give our guests a chance to share where they live and certainly a weather update on this late February day. Amy, let's start with you. Where are you from and what kind of weather are you having today?
I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we are having a snowstorm today. Yep. It is really coming down and it is blowing and windy. It's 6 degrees with a wind chill of negative 14 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. We've got a really bitter, cold, nasty day today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, so you guys get a lot of that kind of weather.
We do.
If we could transfer that weather down here in the South, everything would absolutely shut down. Nothing would be happening. Everybody would be inside next to the fireplace.
So yeah.
Are things still happening in this kind of weather that you're having, or is it pretty bad too, so things are kind of shut down?
No, this is par for the course here in Minnesota. It really takes a lot for things to shut down. So, no, my kids have school today, and, you know, they had the buses are running. And so this is just typical Minnesota weather right now. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, are you from Minnesota, Amy?
I'm originally from Wisconsin. So, you know, I'm just from the next state over. So yeah. What I grew up with in Wisconsin is exactly what I am experiencing here in Minnesota. So
is it possible to get used to this kind of weather? Are you like, yeah, this is just winter?
Yeah, it is. It's just winter. We're used to it. I would think if somebody came from the South and transplanted themselves here, it would take a while for them to get used to it. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's what we know. Yeah.
That's right. Now, I have to ask you this question. So we've got winter and we've got summer. Do you love the winter like this? Or are you like, I cannot wait to get to summer?
I cannot wait to get to summer. I'm a summer girl. I love my summers. So...
Yeah, well, the winter certainly makes you appreciate the summer, doesn't it?
It does. And but yet I always say if I had to move somewhere else where there was no winter, I know I would miss it. I do love the change of seasons. So, but winters are long here and it gets a little, you know, you get a little tired of it after a while.
When will you actually see like comfortable temperatures like 60, 70 degree weather.
Oh my gosh. Probably not till May.
Wow.
Maybe April. Every once in a while we'll have a warm April, but then we've had Aprils where we've had snowstorm after snowstorm. So I always say we're guaranteed pretty good weather come May.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's, yeah,
you can lock it in May, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you certainly stay warm, Amy.
I will.
All right, Karen.
Hi.
Location and weather.
I am in County Wicklow, which is the east coast of Ireland. It's about an hour outside of Dublin. And it's, we've fairly mild winters compared to Amy's winter. It's a long time now since we've had snow like that. But we did have three storms roll in the last week, Storm Dudley, Storm Eunice, and Storm Franklin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the usual trees, power lines getting knocked down, that kind of thing. But nowhere near as bad as your weather over there, Amy.
Well, so you said you're on the coast. Like, how far do you live from the coast?
Oh, well, the county I'm in is on the coast, but I'm the far side of the mountains. The whole county is very mountainous, the Wicklow Mountains. So I'm on the west side of that. So I'm about an hour from the coast.
Okay, that's still nice, though. I mean, that's pretty good proximity. Wow.
Yeah, but wherever you are in Ireland, you're only, like, we're a small island, so I think there's only 5 million people in the whole country. So you're never that far from the coast.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to go, you've got, you can do it within a day, I'm sure, then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'd head to the coast down in the south, which is about an hour and a half drive, pack the car up, pack the kids, picnic towels, everything you're going to need for the day, and spend the day at the beach and then head home again.
Oh, nice. Now, what's it like living in Ireland looking for furniture, used furniture? I mean, do you find it readily available there?
I suppose the problem here isn't furniture, because we'd get a lot coming in off mainland Europe, which is great. You know, a lot of furniture from France, which is always very good quality. The problem here would be actually paint supplies and product supplies. Especially over the last 2 years, there's been hardly anything coming into the country. So I've had to really eke out my supplies. So yeah, that would be the main part, because a lot of our paint would come in via the UK. And as they, you know, recently left the European Union, it just really messed up the supplies coming into Ireland. But I think it's getting a bit better now. I hope so. Anyway, I'm trying to be positive about it.
For sure. That's probably frustrating, especially, you know, because you're a part of the Instagram community, social media community. And so you see all of these paints and the readily the access. Yeah, that you're like, oh, man, I wish I had some of that.
I know. I follow so many. I'd say the majority of the fellow painters that I follow are in the States. And I look at all these wonderful brands of all kinds of things, whether it's paint or moldings or anything like that. And I'll go and look up the company, and then I'll go to the end of their website, and they say, we don't ship outside of the States. And I'm like, oh, no, another one.
Yeah, that's hard. That's discouraging. Well, as you said, we hope that the supply chain process of shipping and getting into Ireland opens up, and the flow is a bit easier and smoother. And they're readily available soon.
I hope so.
Yeah, Julia, location and weather.
Hey, I am in Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half outside of Philadelphia. And here it's in the low 40s. It's cold today and cloudy. We're supposed to have rain this afternoon, and which is a good thing, because I'd rather have rain than the snow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow it's supposed to be like 60. So we're trying to, I guess, sneak into spring here, but our temperatures have been all over the place lately.
Yeah, that's funny that you, because just you talking about the temperatures, I'm like, that feels like North Carolina, because it can be, you know, it can be in the 20s one day, and then the next day it's like 60, 70 degree weather. We get a lot of that kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. That's just kind of hard on the system, I think. I think it's hard for your body to adjust, you know, these springboarding temperatures.
Yes.
Plus, it's hard, especially this time of year, because you can't wait for spring to get here. And so when you get like days of 60 degree weather, you're like, is it here?
Exactly. Yes.
So you said you're an hour and a half from Philadelphia?
Yes.
So
not far at all.
Yeah. So do you go there often, and do you actually sell? You probably sell furniture there, possibly, right?
I can. I usually sell in my area. We have a lot of farmland around us, so a lot of the Amish. So it's easier to pick up around here and use like Facebook Marketplace and things like that in the local antique shops. And then sell. But when I put my distance for selling on Marketplace, I will market out that way towards Philly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How far are you from, you know, you mentioned Philadelphia. I know this is in Maryland, but what about Baltimore?
Baltimore is not far either. That is, well, with a heavy foot, I can make it there in about an hour and a half as well.
Yeah. Gotta be careful with that heavy foot. To blow all your profits because of it, right? Well, that's cool though that you have access to some big cities, you know.
Yeah,
and sort of broadens your client base. That's one of the neat things about furniture finishing and, I don't know, Facebook Marketplace and then Etsy and some of these other websites that just allows you to sell and broaden your client base and sell, you know, anywhere within your own country. So that's super nice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, listeners, stay tuned because after we discuss their pieces, we are going to have a panel discussion on choosing the right medium, paint, stains, that sort of thing, making those decisions for your piece. And also, you can see the pieces we are discussing by going to enjoyzebra.com site and scroll to the bottom and click on podcast. Well, we always want to take time to learn more about these winning pieces. So here's how our discussion will unfold. I'll ask each refinisher to describe their piece. And then the other refinishers will ask a few questions, and I will lob a few questions their way as well. And we're going to start with Julia. Julia, you won first place with your amazing buffet. Describe it for
us. Thank you. Yes. So I found this at a local antique mall. It's actually in Carlisle, not far from us, where I have my booth. And the owner of the Carlisle Antique Mall said, "Hey, I have someone interested in this piece to be refinished." And I immediately thought of you and I was like, "Oh, great." And so I called up the client and we went back and forth and then we FaceTimed and she wanted it to be a high gloss piece. And so we figured out the color and I actually reached out to Kayla Payne, painted by Kayla, to kind of get an idea how to refinish this piece. And so she gave me some tips and I reached out to the company for the paint and then found a retailer that was about 4 hours away in our state and just did more research and just kind of figured it out. And I dealt with some things with this piece as far as temperature. I started it in the summer and it went into the fall and I had to deal with orange peel, which I had never dealt with before, and things like that. And then we moved the piece inside and I was able to get a spray booth and really get things going there. And then finally got it to delivery and she just was just over the moon, loved it so much. And that led to another piece and another piece. But this piece was an antique buffet and was well taken care of. And so it didn't need a lot of work, which was nice. So it was really just the color she wanted changed.
Wow. I tell you what, I feel like it's one of those pieces you could almost, because it has such depth to it, you could almost put your hand through it. I mean, it's just got that endless look to it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just very stunning. It's
definitely timeless. And and you know, she just loved it. And that's all that mattered. So yeah.
Well, I hope she knows. Does she know it won an award, won first place?
I told her yes, and she was super excited.
Yeah, that's cool. That is so neat. Well, questions for Julia by Amy and Karen?
Julia, I need to find out, okay, is this your first time doing a high gloss piece?
Yes, this was, well, actually I did a tester piece first, and then once that came out good, then I moved on to this one. So I tested a piece first and then did this.
So was the gloss or was the paint itself glossy, or did you have to put like a glossy top coat on it to
make it? So it's, yeah, the company that makes it is, they have a high gloss paint, and then they also have the, lacquer top that goes with it. Yeah.
Oh, so it was a high gloss paint and then you'd lacquered the, it on top of it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lots of layers. It's, but it's, it, but it came out just amazing.
It,
so
it is. It's beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
So stunning. So stunning.
Thank you.
Then how do you keep all the fuzzies from collecting in that high gloss? That's always my fear with any product, anything at all, like fuzzies.
Yeah. So, so that's why we purchased a spray booth, to keep it out of the elements. And then also, our garage is under our house, like in our basement area. And, you know, the kids are running around upstairs and things like that. So, we definitely needed it to be secure and, have its own space. So we got a spray booth and then started putting it in there, and it worked out great.
Well, it's stunning. That finish is amazing.
It's beautiful. Really beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Julie, did you find it difficult to work with lacquer as opposed to like a standard top coat, and the same with the high gloss paint? Was that more difficult to work with than like a milk paint?
Oh yeah, it's finicky. It's like I said, like I had to deal with orange peel, and I had never dealt with that before. I had to research what that was, and then I found out I had to start over once I got the orange peel. I had to, you know, sand it all back down and paint it back on again.
Yeah. It's tough. We've all been there. We've all had to keep off our finishes.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You probably put one of those caution tape things around your spray booth, didn't you? Like nobody goes in there.
Yeah.
Well, the kids thought it was for them, and I was like, "Oh no, no, this is mommy's."
Oh yeah, like, oh yeah. They saw the tent, right? And they thought, "Oh, this is our play area."
That's cool. You'll see little tiny fingerprint marks in the lacquer.
Oh no, they learned quick. They don't touch it.
Just for our listeners, in case there's some, Julia, that maybe when you say orange peel, describe, tell them what that actually means.
Yeah. So, your finish will actually look, it'll take on the form of an orange, like what an orange peel with the bubbles and the lumps and bumps and divots. And yeah, when you get that in your finish, it you can't spray over that or paint over that or brush over that or apply more paint, try to make it go away. You can't, you have to sand all of that off and start over. And, yeah.
Oh man.
That's painful. That's painful.
Yeah. Definitely a labor of love. And of course it was right on top where I didn't, you know, I needed that to be, you know, smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
It turned out so beautiful, but like when you were doing this, were you like thinking, why am I doing this? This is like, or like, were you stressed or did you really enjoy it, even though there were challenges with it?
There were challenges, you know, but I did totally enjoy it. I couldn't question, you know, why am I doing this? Because this is what she asked for, you know, so I just had to go with it. And I just explained to her, like, it's going to, you know, it's just going to take some time and, you know, please be patient. You know, I'd text her, I'm like, this is how far I am. Or I would send her a picture and show her my progress or show her where, you know, we had to backstep or start over. And she was like, okay, you know, thank you so much. And just kept her in the loop with everything. And she was super appreciative of that.
It's definitely more pressure, Julia, when you know you have your customer waiting on a piece as opposed to.
Yeah.
Working on it in your own time, and you know, it's different.
Yeah. Well, I actually gave her like a deadline, and myself, I was like, I'll have it to you. Now I started like collected this in the summer, so I said I would have it to her by the holiday, and I ended up having it to her at Christmas. So yeah.
Oh man, that was perfect then. She probably loved that.
Yeah.
Can't do any better than that. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, Julia, describe your style for us.
My style is definitely traditional. I like the pieces to be timeless. My clients, though, my current client loves the high gloss, lots of color. I gravitate to more muted colors. I like the neutral colors, creams and whites and blacks and browns. But my clients all like these bright colors, so I'm going with it and loving this journey.
Yeah. So have you become more of a high gloss finish person than a matte finish, or do you still like matte finish? What's their take on that?
I can go either way. So if a client wants that, I will do that for them. No problem. I feel way more comfortable now. But if they wanted matte or a whitewash or something like that, I could do that too. Like I just finished a French Provincial side tables for a friend, and those had the Fusion Mineral Paint Damask in matte, you know, in that, you know, she loves that, and that's what she wanted. So yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're very versatile. Well, this piece turned out so beautiful, Julia. Congrats and well done.
Thank you so much.
Listen, share your Instagram account or any social media venues that you would like our listeners to know about.
Yeah, I am on Instagram at Creative With Sense.
Very good. Well, Karen, you won second place. You refinished this Art Deco era cabinet, and it turned out so unique, really incredible. Describe it for our listeners.
Thanks, Lane. This piece I got, it's an Art Deco era, but the base was completely smashed. There was no internal drawers, dividers, no base on the drawer, and there was no back on it. So it was kind of just a shell of a piece. So I knew I had my work cut out, but I saw the grain on the front, and I knew I had to work with that. So it was a lot of sanding. In the before picture, you can see it's kind of, it's a very muted varnish on it, but there was a lot of veneer missing, but I wanted to save it as much as I could. So it was a lot of sanding I suppose the other refinishers will know, when you're trying to take off, a top coat, you have to be very careful when you're dealing with a veneer not to blow through it.
Yeah.
Because once you blow through it, it's kind of the wood gone, and you'll have to paint over it. So yeah, I managed to save the wood on the front. So I did the sides, and the top in a black. I love the natural grain wood with a dark color, whether it's navy or black or a dark gray. Added some new legs and some new handles, base, back, internal dividers and drawers, and it was finished.
Man, a lot of work. A lot of work. But incredibly beautiful. Questions for Karen, Julia, and Amy?
Yes, I want to know, how did you get these lines like so straight? Like that is beautiful. It's just perfect.
It's I suppose one of my little secrets, it's mini masking tape. I used two measurements of masking tape on this one. It's a 3 mil and 6 mil masking tape. And I've gotten into these linear designs in the last year, I suppose because there was nothing else to do during the pandemic except work. We weren't going anywhere or seeing anybody. So I got really into the finite details of mini masking tape. And I just love the precision of lines lately, you know, that kind of design. I don't measure it, I just do it by eye.
That's beautiful. Oh, wow.
So if you, you know, you start off with your main design, and I never draw anything out either. It's always a work in process as to how many lines I'm going to do. But I love the look of a metallic gold or copper against, in this case, stripped back walnut. It really, I think it makes the design pop nicely.
Definitely. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Did you put like a top coat on that front?
Once you sand wood down that far, I'd use a sanding sealer to seal. Mm-hmm. Like I'll go from 80 to strip the wood, then I'll go 120, 180, 240, 320, and finish on a 400.
Mm-hmm.
And then a light sealer, which takes about half an hour to dry. It just seals in the grain in case you've opened up parts of it. Sometimes you have to go deeper into the grain in some parts. And then I'd use a high performance top coat just to seal it, and about three coats of that over the whole piece.
Is that the natural wood color, Karen, or did you stain it?
No, it's not stained at all. I never, once I do all the sanding, I like to keep it as natural as possible. It does go a little bit darker when you're using, a top coat. I used the paint and the top coat on this one is by General Finishes.
Okay.
So it's lamp black paint, and then it's the high performance top coat in satin. So it just makes the wood go slightly darker, but I prefer knowing a piece is like really durable and sealed,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Before sending it out. So it does make it a slight bit darker than mm-hmm. the natural sand, or the after sanding it, it's quite light.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wood tone, it's just beautiful. Just beautiful.
I have another question. Did you have trouble finding wood to basically rebuild this piece?
No, we have, there's a shop in the town near me. It's about half an hour away. I suppose it's kind of like, your guys' Home Depot. Well, I only know the name of that shop from watching all the videos on Instagram. I know you have a big store over there called Home Depot that cuts wood.
That's great. Yes.
So it's like that. So sometimes you can be lucky. When you go in, I'll go in with my measurements and I'll take out the wood, and I'll ask them, you know, would they mind cutting it for me, because their saws are a lot more professional than my saw. And sometimes you'll just get somebody who's not having a good day and they don't want to cut any wood, so you end up bringing big planks of wood home. And I try and cut it myself as straight as I can.
Karen, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but I was perusing your feed the other day, and I am just awestruck by the beautiful Art Deco bar cabinets that you have done. Where do you source those beautiful cabinets?
You know, I was only thinking about this the other day myself, because I took in another three cabinets.
Oh,
and
wow.
It just seems to be, I don't know why people are getting rid of these cabinets at the moment, but I can't keep up. Like, I've got a supply of cabinets coming in, and the same side, I've got a load of customers waiting on these cabinets. So it's good news for me. I'll find them anywhere. I'll find them on Marketplace. There's a good few auctions starting back up here again now. And I have to say, they're one of my favorite pieces to work on, because I love glitzing them out and putting all mirrors on the inside and internal lights. You know, when you pull the cabinet down, they're motion sensor lights, so they light up the mirrors.
That's so cool.
I just love them.
Yeah. And I know, like here, you know, Facebook Marketplace, they are few and far between. I rarely see these Art Deco cabinets. So
agreed. Yeah. It's hit or miss. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just in awe by the number that you've been able to get your hands on.
For the most part, I suppose I'd find the larger cabinets in auctions, which I suppose has changed over the last few years because the auctions are now online. You're bidding online as opposed to, you know, going to the auctions and seeing the furniture, because we've only just in the last week come out of lockdown. So we've been in lockdown for 2 years.
Wow.
So things are only starting to get back to normal now. So you're taking a chance when you buy, you know, a piece of furniture online.
Right.
Most of the time it works out, but sometimes, you know, you'll have asked the questions, you know, is there any woodworm? Is there any veneer missing? And the person will say, oh, no, no, it's all perfect. And it gets delivered to the house and it's in a really bad state and there's nothing you can do about it. So, yeah, sometimes you can get furniture that needs like a lot of work. But I suppose when you finish that piece, you feel a little bit more proud because you've had to learn maybe some new techniques or rebuilding skills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Karen, when you work on a piece like this, are you working on multiple pieces or do you start a piece and you just hang with it until you finish it?
I usually try and do two pieces simultaneously just to speed the process up because I'll do all the rebuilding at the same time on both pieces and do all the sanding at the same time just from a dust point of view. You know, try and get all the dusty jobs and the cleaning jobs out of the way. And then while I have painted or varnished one piece, while that's drying, I can go over and start on the second piece. You know, because in between, depending on which paint you use, it can be anywhere between 2 and 6 hours dry time. And I do 3 coats of paint minimum on a piece and then 3 coats of top coat. So that's 6 coats multiplied by 6 hours per drying time. It's a long time.
Yeah, you need a couple of Julia's tents. You know, you can stand in one tent. <Yeah. laughs>
Definitely.
Karen, certainly this piece is one of a kind for sure. And nice work. Congratulations. But before I have you share your Instagram account, you kind of touched on it a few seconds ago, but describe your style for us just so people can get to know you a little bit better.
I'd say since I started in this business, my style has definitely changed over time. I've always gone with clean and classic looks. So either single color or possibly 2 colors. But over the years, I don't know, I suppose... I don't know what would you call my own linear geometric design. I'll have to think of a word to describe it, but definitely, I suppose, clean and classic with a geometric twist.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's your own signature style. Then it's I think everybody does though to a degree. It's fun. It's always fun to hear what you guys say about your style. But as you continue on in the refinishing business and you grow and you, more people get to know you, it really is true that you can identify artists,
Definitely.
You can see a piece, you know, even without a watermark or the, you know, the account name above it, you're like, oh yeah, that's Karen. That's definitely Karen's piece. That's definitely Amy's piece or Julia's piece. And I think that's really cool. I love that.
It's nice to hear. I've had a few people, you know, message me and say, I just knew this was your piece before I even knew I was on your page. And it's nice to hear that somebody recognizes your work.
Yeah. I love that so much because, you know, we're always talking about how furniture finishing is an art. And that's the reason why I love it, because that's reflective of the fact that you are creating art and because that shows through in your own artistic abilities and how that comes through in the furniture pieces. So it's neat. Well, Karen, share your social media venues, your account, so folks can follow you if they're not already.
Sure. I'm on primarily just Facebook and Instagram, and it's Emporium K Designs.
Got it. Very good. Well, Amy, you won third place, and I understand this was no easy piece to refinish. It came with lots of challenges, and so why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Describe it for our listeners.
Sure. It's a classic 4-drawer vintage dresser with turned legs. Very basic, but it has that classic look, or that classic vintage look to it. This was supposed to be an easy piece. This was gifted to me by a dear friend who was cleaning out her parents' home. And she gifted me this dresser and another one in perfect shape, beautiful shape. So I thought, yeah, this is going to be a no-brainer. This is going to be so easy from start to finish. And boy, was I wrong. I think everything that could go wrong went wrong as I worked on this piece. Yeah. So I'm not sure what else to say about it, but.
Well, it's just interesting to hear that, because obviously this is a winning piece. So it's like, wow, a lot of work went into it. And it's certainly reflective of that when you see it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first part I painted it in a deep eggplant color. The color is so stunning. And the pictures really never do the piece justice when you see the piece in person, but the color is such a beautiful color. But I think that's where my first struggle was trying, and I'm a brusher, was trying to get the pigmentation of that color as even as possible as I brushed. And I was starting to just struggle with the color, where I, you know, reached out to the furniture refinishing community. I reached out to the manufacturer of the paint, and they gave me some suggestions, which I did. And then ultimately, when it came down to it, it was suggested, you know, just if you have a sprayer, try spraying the final coat and see if that makes a difference, which I did have a sprayer, but I had never used it really before. So this was the first time I was going to actually spray a coat of paint on a piece. And then because I was such an amateur with the sprayer, that was a disaster. And I thinned the paint too much, and it was just running. So I had to go back and grab a brush and try and brush out all the runs and then let it dry. And then I sanded it back and tried again. And again, just another, it was just one disaster after another. And what ended up is like all of the run marks, even though I sanded it all down and it was smooth to the touch, when I went to paint it again, it was like all of those marks were ghosting through the finish.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh my gosh. I was just like, you know, if you can talk about a piece that just takes you down to your knees in tears, I mean, this was the piece where, and so again, reached out to the furniture community, what in the world do I do? And so then a lot of people suggested, you know, to use the clear shellac, which I did, and then let that dry and went back over it. And finally, I finally had it where it wasn't streaking. The pigmentation looked even everywhere. There was no ghosting through. And I finally got it to that point. And then I lost my father unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And so I had to leave it alone for like a month while I dealt with family things. And then I really had no desire to even go back to it. Mm-hmm. It kind of sat there. And yeah. But then at one point I'm like, okay, time to put your big girl boots on and just get this finished. It's the holidays. It's sitting in your foyer, you know, got to get it out of there. So, and then I struggled with what I was going to do with the legs and the top, because my plan was to stain them. But every stain I put on just did not look right with that deep eggplant. And then I think it was like one night I was awake at 3:30 in the morning, and then it dawned on me, just paint the top and gild the legs and the hardware. And then that kind of made me excited about it, the idea of gilding it. So I got up that morning and I went and I bought the gilding paint, and that's what I did. And then when it was all said and done, then I cried because I was just so happy with how it finally turned out. I mean, there was a lot of tears in this piece. Oh my God. Yes. Lots of tears with this piece. So anyways, but it's funny because, you know, the piece that literally brought me to my knees is the piece that ended up going viral on Instagram. I would have never have guessed. But this was the piece where, I don't know, like 5,000, 6,000 people, you know, liking it and comment. Like, it just went viral.
That's cool.
Yeah, which is just crazy. So I did get a little reward back from it in that way. And part of me is like, well, maybe my dad had a little hand in that too.
That's really lovely.
So anyways, but yeah, so that is basically the tale of that piece. And it was a 2-month process. I think I started it like October 1st and I finished it like December 29th. Yeah.
Well, we're certainly sorry to hear about your dad passing, Amy.
Thank you.
Grief is very difficult.
It was nothing I had ever experienced before, and it was very sudden, and yeah.
Well, prayers for you.
This
piece is really quite beautiful. Julia, Karen, specific questions for Amy on this piece? This is, I'm sure this probably has you guys thinking a lot about your own experience with the furniture refinishing.
Definitely. I feel your pain on this, Amy.
Absolutely.
Well, I always say the easy pieces are never easy. You know, it's those easy ones that don't end up being easy, I swear to God. Yes. That's the truth.
Yes.
I know, especially when you look at a piece of furniture and you think, this one doesn't need much work done, you know, just a light sand, just get the paint on, get it out, and then I don't know how many days, weeks later, you're walking away from it, you're throwing down your brush.
Exactly.
I don't want to do this anymore. Why am I in this business? It turned out so lovely. Did you ever find out why you were having problems with the paint? Because no.
I really didn't. And I know, like, some people, I remember one point, like, posting a picture on my stories and just saying, are you seeing the streaking I'm seeing? I put a poll, and like, most people said, no, it looks perfect. And there were some people said, yeah, I think I see what you're, you know. So part of me, you know, is I'm such a perfectionist, and sometimes to a horrible fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure maybe some people would have been like, it looks absolutely fine. Like, I don't see what you're seeing, but I could see something that just to me was not right. And I think the more I kept trying, the more I kept ruining it or something. And I did reach out to the paint manufacturer, and they gave me a lot of helpful hints, but, it wasn't until I, you know, finally mastered the art of spraying that final coat where I could then literally see, like, okay, there is no change. Like, there's no pigmentation differences now that I was seeing before. I don't know if it was something, you know, and I've never had that happen as a brusher where there was such a difference, or that I could see where the pigmentation just didn't seem to be going on as even as possible. So
I wonder, is it the color? I worked on a piece once in red, and it sounds like we had the exact same problems. Just maybe because yours is eggplant-y purple, mine was red. You know, that kind of, that color field of, you know, that range of colors. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I do wonder if these highly pigmented color, you know, like you said, a red or this deep purple, you know, maybe prone to that. I'm not sure. So
I never worked with red again.
That was it, huh?
Oh my gosh, that's one of my goals this year, is to do a red piece, so maybe I need to rethink that.
I have a question, Amy. Was the hardware original?
Yes, it was. And that was another challenge that happened. Is the hardware is original. And when I went to test it to see if it was brass to clean it, it was not brass. It held the magnet. So I knew I was not dealing with brass, but I went ahead and cleaned it just to see what I had. And it was just that horrible, ugly, kind of silvery black, almost like a pewtery color. You know, it wasn't a lovely color at all. So I did order new hardware for it that was kind of almost the exact same style. But when that hardware came, I just did not like it. It was, mm-hmm. the color wasn't the greatest. And it was, to me, it almost felt like it was plastic, that it wasn't a metal. And so right away, I knew I wasn't going to use the new hardware I purchased for it. So that was another challenge I faced. Like, what do I do about the hardware? Like, everything, you know, I was planning on keeping the hardware. So, I was like rethinking, do I find something completely different? And so that was part of that 3:30 in the morning light bulb moment when I decided, you know, like, yeah. you know what, you paint the top and you're going to gild, those legs are going to look beautiful,
yeah,
you know, gilded. And then you can do the same thing. You can keep the original hardware, just gild it to match the legs. And that's what I did. Yeah. So it is the original hardware, just gilded in gold. Yeah.
I love those light bulb moments, you know, you could be distracted, you could be driving or have just woken up and suddenly, you know, the answer comes to you and you feel really excited.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually want to go straight back out to work again now that you've solved the problem.
Right, exactly. And like I said, that light bulb moment was what got me excited about this piece again. Yeah.
It's funny, too, how sometimes those ideas come to you. You're not even really thinking about it, but all of a sudden, yeah. like, the solution pops in your head.
It does. Yeah.
Interesting times, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Amy, you said 3. Did you say 3 a.m.? Is that what
you
said?
It was like 3:30 in the morning. I'm a horrible sleeper. So at one point, I was awake and, like, you know, thinking about things and wanting to go back to sleep. But, you know, a million things run through my mind. And then all of a sudden it was just like, oh my gosh, I know what to do about that top and those legs and the hardware.
That's so interesting. That time I've often heard that, that is, you know, if you look at a 24-hour period, 3 a.m. is the most creative time. So,
is it really?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah. So keep a pen and pad next to your bed.
I know. Because
exactly. That's the other things. How often do you think of things? You're like, oh, yeah, that's it. And I'll write it down in the morning. And then you go back to sleep in the morning. You're like, what was that? I knew I had an idea.
Yeah.
I knew it was good, but I can't remember what it was. Amy, well, describe your style for us.
I think I'm a little bit like Julia, where I like kind of the clean and classic look. I love vintage pieces. I love doing the vintage pieces and kind of giving them, I don't want to say a modern, but updating them for today's home, but still having that little bit of that vintage vibe, you know, kind of marrying past with present. So I think that's how I would describe my style.
Very good. Well, so glad you had a happy ending with this piece, Amy.
I know, me too. Yeah. Me too.
Really lovely results.
I needed a happy ending by that point.
Yes, you did. Well, congratulations, and share your social media venues with our listeners.
Sure. On Instagram, I'm at Panolo_designs, and I'm also on Facebook at Panolo Designs, and I'm also on Pinterest at Panolo Designs. Yeah, so you can find me in all three places.
Very good.
Hi, my name is Summer Barubi with Pinewood Charm. And this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. I'm a huge fan of Zebra brushes. They are definitely my go-to paintbrush for all my painting projects. I love their high-quality, soft bristles to help me with coverage of paint and lack of brush strokes. If you're using a quality paint, pair it with a quality brush, and that would be Zebra's brushes. My go-to brush from Zebra would have to be the Palm Pro. I love how it fits comfortably in my hand, and I can get into all the tight spaces that come along with furniture. If I'm applying top coats, I prefer to use the 2-inch angled or the fan brush. And I also use the chiseled wedge on a regular basis to apply my primers because it holds a lot of product and helps you put it on thick to seal in those stains. I would highly recommend you try Zebra brushes if you haven't. And happy painting, everyone.
Well, it's time for our zebra panel discussion. Refinishing has many facets and so many steps to get from the before to the after. One of the characteristics of excellent refinishing is the ability to choose the right paint type or medium, whether it's like the paint or the stain or any other additives or anything you want to add to the piece itself. So many choices to choose from today, and many of those choices produce phenomenal results. It's always beneficial to hear the processes others go to or go through when making those decisions. Panelists, we are eager to hear how you all choose the right medium. Share your decision-making processes and what helps you to make the right choices.
I'd be interested to hear the other two ladies. When do you decide not to paint, even if it's just a section of a piece of furniture?
Oh, I can answer that one. If the wood grain looks really nice, I will try to preserve it if I can. And then I would use like a stain or a top coat just to have that wood, you know, pop through. But yeah, I try to preserve some piece of the wood if I can.
Mm. I think it definitely enhances the piece, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Julia, because I try and do something that's still wood on every piece I do, and especially if it's the top. Like, I'm such a sucker for a wood top that if I can preserve the top, it doesn't always happen, but if I can preserve the top, I will. And, like, I think about that dresser of mine that we were just talking about. Like, I was so, you know, strong about preserving that wood top. It was gorgeous and wanting to stain it. But, you know, sometimes the pieces make the decision for you. You may have a vision, but sometimes the pieces end up telling you what to do. And in that case, it was like, paint the top.
Yeah. It's very disappointing when you have to make that choice, when you really want to save something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That is so true. My current piece that I'm working on now, this week, it's a table, and the table top, when I received it, I don't know if someone sanded through the veneer, but it's not there. And so my client said, you know, I wanted to have this whitewash, and I'm looking at the top and I'm like, there, the grain's going every which direction, like that's gonna be a mess. And so I was like, this actually needs a new top. And so I had to purchase more veneer for the top. So that's what I'm going to be working on in my stories this week, is putting an actual new veneer top. And I've never done that before either, but we're gonna go for it. So I went to Woodcraft and talked to the guys there, and they gave me all the tips and pointers. And then I hopped on YouTube and did my research there. So I'm feeling confident that this will turn out nice for her. And then put that top on, and then add a stain. She wants General Finishes Java. Have you guys used that before?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't used it before, so I'm excited to see how it turns out.
It can get a bit messy, but it is worth it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't let your kids anywhere near it.
I was going to say, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times when I get a piece, like, it tells me right away.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, what it wants to be done. Like, there are some pieces that speak nothing to me and they sit in my garage for months and months and months. But there are some pieces right away that's like, oh, this color, this stain top, you know, blah, 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 blah. And right away there's the vision. Like, so a lot of times the pieces tell me the medium.
And do you guys ever choose a particular brand of paint depending on the piece, or is it just what colors you have at hand?
A lot of times for me, it's just the color. Especially if it's speaking like a certain color to me,
yeah,
and then I'll research. I have about 4 to 5 of my favorite paint brands. So I usually stick within those, and then I'll go and I'll look through, you know, all of their colors, and then find the one from those paint brands that is as close to what I'm thinking of for the piece. Yeah.
That sounds like heaven, 4 to 5 brands.
don't know, Karen, where do you find your paints at?
I have a supplier about half an hour away. It's a carpentry store, and they stock general finishes, which I believe comes from Wisconsin. I think that's where they're based.
I think so.
But the problem there is they don't ship in the colder months, I believe, because the temperatures can't dip below, I think, 4 degrees. And then the paint hardens. So there's only, I think, what is it, 6 months of the year I can buy paint. And then the other 6 months I have to stock up.
Yeah.
So you guys are really lucky with all the different brands and for everything, like whether it's, you know, stains or paints or top coats or, you know, all everything. Maybe I should move.
Or maybe somehow we need to start a little shipping thing to Karen from
the US. I was thinking the same thing. We gotta ship some stuff to Karen.
Yeah, put a goodie box together and ship it off to you, Karen.
Yeah, I need to get a crate of stuff to Karen.
That sounds really good. And do you guys ever add anything to your pieces, like, you know, metal edges or moldings, or do you ever do decoupage or anything like that?
I haven't gotten into that yet. I would like to learn. I just don't know how, you know. I would love to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to use moldings a good bit, and I've just, you know, sometimes you go through phases of using things on furniture, and in the beginning I used to put moldings on every piece of furniture, and just over the years I've just kind of gone away from that kind of style, and I just go paint now. That's it, just paint.
Yeah, I've never done like a transfer, or even I suppose I could say I've done a stencil, but that was on like the side of a drawer.
Yeah,
I just finished yesterday, I redid my bedside table that I did like 15 years ago. And over the last few years, the veneer started bubbling and coming up. So I decided to remove that veneer and redo that table. And I just tried Would You Bend for the very first time to add just a little detail of molding around the perimeter of the table. And that was really fun to use. I loved it. So I can see myself, you know, using that Would You Bend product again in the future. That was a neat medium to use and very easy. And it was very easy to use.
I've seen some people online use hot glue gun molds.
I've seen that too. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To cast new pieces. Yeah.
I've had to add trim to like fix a piece. But other than that, I haven't tried the Would You Bend or the hot glue gun.
Yeah. I haven't used the hot glue gun method, but I have used like that amazing.
Yep. The mold putty.
The mold and resin kit.
Yep.
To recreate trim pieces that were missing.
Yeah. That's what I used. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys, and I hate asking it because I feel bad for Karen. So I'm going to ask it. Karen, I'm so sorry. But my question is this. You know, Amy, you mentioned that you have like about four paint brands that you use, that you gravitate to. Like, you know, and this question probably is for maybe a new person, but like, how do you know, like, how did you know to choose those four paint brands? How did you get to that point? And I say that, Karen, because obviously you're limited on what you're able to get and have access to. But, you know, especially here in the United States and even Canada, you know, you have a lot of opportunities. There's so many different paint brands out there. And then you see so much on Instagram, right? So you're looking and you're like, oh, wow, that turned out great. Like, do you add that to your repertoire of paint? Like, how do you go about that process?
Well, for me, it started out like my first year in Pinolo. I was pretty much just using Fusion Mineral paint. I was introduced to that paint by a fellow refinisher, and I absolutely loved it. I loved how it went on. I loved how it top coated. And so I pretty much stuck to that for my very first year. And then in my second year, one of my goals was to try, I made a goal that to try some new paint brands, just to branch out and try some others. One brand that I tried was exclusively like a chalk-based paint, and that I did not enjoy using as much. But then as I would hear other refinishers talk about their experience with brands, and then I knew that maybe the mineral paint was more for me because that's what fusion is. So then I started trying other brands that were mineral based. And so I, you know, then I started gravitating towards like a Melange and, you know, that kind of paint. Yeah. And there was a couple more that I really liked too. And then I was doing a piece last summer, and the color I really wanted was by General Finishes. And I've always used their top coat, but I've never used their paint. But it threw me because it said it was a milk paint. And I'm not like one for the chippy milk paint look. But so I reached out to a fellow refinisher, and she said, oh, no, you will love it. Because it says milk paint, but it does not perform like a milk paint. You will absolutely love it. So I went and I picked up the color that I wanted to use on this piece, and I loved it. I did. So that became another go-to brand that I found very easy and very lovely to use as well. So that's kind of how I found the brands that I liked, you know, to use the most. Was I made it a goal one year, you know, branch out, try a few brands. And, you know, by branching out, that's how I found the ones that I liked and the ones that didn't work as well for me. So,
yeah, that's helpful. So it sort of unfolded with time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Julia and Karen, would you guys say the same thing, similar experience?
I guess I originally had tried chalk paint like Amy, and I knew it wasn't a paint for me. I find it quite difficult to work with. And I'd heard of the General Finishes milk paint, and I had gone onto YouTube and looked at people working with milk paint, and the idea of chippiness I didn't think was going to be for me, because I wanted a classic flat finish. But I gave it a go, and I just love milk paint. It's not a chippy milk paint. It's a very smooth finish. But I know that's the paint for me. I also do like the mineral paints from Fusion as well. It's a slightly more matte finish. So I guess it depends on the kind of finish you're looking for. But I'd say I definitely gravitate towards the milk paint. It's got a degree of self-leveling in it. So even with perfect smooth brush strokes with the brush, the self-leveling paint just adds that extra finish. I just feel they work really well together.
Julia, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I started using chalk paint and just had so many problems. I don't know if some of you guys followed me way back when I was trying to paint a trunk in chalk paint, and it was just so streaky, and I couldn't figure out why, and, you know, just troubleshooting. And I ended up painting it a whole different color with mineral paint and loved it. And I've always stuck or leaned towards the mineral paints. I've tried the milk paints and I love them too, just because they kind of do what they want, you know. So I do like those as well. But yeah, I do love the mineral paints, and I love the leveling aspect of them. And just, I do like a smooth, clean finish. So I'll probably always lean on them. Yeah.
Have any of you guys ever switched paint types during a project? Like where you started using one paint type and you realized this is really not the right paint for this particular job?
Yep, I did. It was a buffet, probably like a year ago now. I did a big like, it was almost like a cobalt blue buffet. And I started out, and it was a chalk-based paint. And it was my piece that I was going to try this new paint brand. It was, like I said, it was one of my goals. And I just, I had troubles with the chalk paint. And I'm one that likes the clean, even finish. And I just was not getting that. And I found it was being hard to, I couldn't top coat it because it was, you're supposed to maybe wax that more than top coat it with, you know, poly. I don't know. Yeah. But so I did, you know, 3/4 of the way through that piece, I just sanded it back down and I started over with another brand and kind of matched the color as close as I could. But yeah. And that's kind of when I knew, yeah, the chalk paint isn't right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a much heavier paint, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, I think, Julia, you may have said this. It's just streaky. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
So. Julia, can I ask, would you recommend, now that you seem professional in your high gloss and lacquer paint, would you recommend that's a type of paint to try?
Yes. I mean, yes, to try. Now, granted, it's expensive, but if that's something that maybe a client wants or you want for yourself as a piece to keep, definitely you to try. Yeah. The leveling on the oil, paints is awesome. Yeah. I did a small reel on just brushing it, and, you could just watch it level right.
Oh, wow.
You know, on the camera, and it just came out so good. Yeah.
I have to say, I love the high sheen quality of the lacquer finish. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very beautiful, very, very luxe, very, very, very pretty. Yeah.
So that paint you could brush, Julia?
Yes.
I would have assumed that had to be like a, you know, spray only.
Well, I definitely got practice with this last piece that I did, which is in jade. And,
I've been following that one.
Did you see that one? Yeah. It was color matched in jade. And that one required, because the details on it, that one required a lot of hand, you know, brushing.
Yeah. Okay.
And, all the squares and rectangles, you know, going back over those. I brushed all of that, the doors and the sides, by hand, and it leveled so nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you can use a brush.
Okay.
Yeah. You got a beautiful finish. Beautiful finish.
Yeah, zebra brushes work great on that, by the way.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. Yes, they do. I agree.
That, Julia, man, yeah. that piece, that jade piece is incredible. I mean,
Thank you. How long
did it take you to do that? I mean, that's a lot of work, but I tell you what, it's really stunning.
That one also took a lot of time. Well, I'm just like Karen and Amy, I collected all the pieces at one time in the summer and then primed all of them and sanded them and got them ready for the paint, so that when I called the company in Pittsburgh to send the paint to me, I was ready. So I ordered it all in bulk, like what I needed, the different colors she requested, and just worked on them, you know, until they were done. So the navy piece was first, or the pink piece was first, the navy piece, and then this green piece. So the green piece was the big finale. And
amazing, Julia.
And she has all of her lacquer pieces that she wanted now, and she's like, I'm kind of sad, everything that I wanted is done. but it took like 3 months to do, but that's also, I'm, you know, working full time and then the kids and then just regular life and then, you know, working, you know, on these pieces. It was definitely a labor of love. Like it just came out. So I'm so happy with it. And then she wanted like, the back of that jade hutch to be, fabric, from Sheila Bridges, designer. It's the Harlem twill fabric, and it just peeks through, and then it reflects off of that off the shelves, and it's so pretty. It's so pretty. So I'm glad that she has that, you know, beautiful statement piece in her dining room now to show off. So yeah.
Yeah, boy, it does have a reflection, doesn't it?
It does. Deep. Oh, beautiful.
Well, you guys truly amaze me with all the work that goes into these pieces and then everything else you have going on. And it's just phenomenal. So, but it's, you know, it's so beneficial to glean from others. Hearing you guys discuss your processes and what works for you is extremely helpful. Again, congratulations, Julia, Karen, and Amy. You all have tremendous talent and are so important to this community. We hope you enjoy the rest of your refinishing day.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Lane.
Thank you so much, Lane, for having us.
Welcome to a new segment on our podcast called The Beginner's Bucket, an opportunity for new refinishers to ask questions from their more experienced refinishing friends. If you have a question that you would like answered, just send me an email at laneball@joyzebra.com and we'll ask an experienced refinisher and play the answer here on the podcast. This week's question comes from Tara with Resurrected Piece, and the question is, it's scary to try bold colors. What if people will not buy the piece? Chloe Kempster with Macy's House answers her question.
Thanks so much for your question, Tara. I've actually got a few answers to this one. I can definitely understand why some people are apprehensive about using colour on furniture because they're worried that it limits the market. But one of the things I've noticed in recent years is that colour is becoming a lot more popular. So that is one of the things that I would say, is that actually people are wanting to see a little bit more colour in their homes. The other thing with colour is if it really is your personality and it's really your passion, I just believe that you should paint things the way you feel, because when you really believe in your own work, then you're more likely to sell it. So that's why I really like to use colour in my work. The other thing I would suggest is mixing up your work a little bit. So if you're a little bit worried about using colourful pieces and worried that you won't sell them, try and do some lovely neutral pieces, perhaps some restored natural wood pieces, and then just throw in a few smaller colourful bits, see how they go and test the waters. That's the kind of thing that I did when I was first starting out. I'm lucky enough now to be able to do colour most of the time. But yeah, if you're just starting out, that's what I'd suggest trying. Good luck with it, Tara. Bye.
Thanks, Chloe. You have wowed and inspired us all with your colourful and bold pieces. Thanks for your great advice. Today's refinishing tip comes from Jen and Amanda with the Vintage Sisters.
Hi, this is Jen from Vintage Sisters. Today's refinishing tip is going to be about staging. So firstly, what Amanda and I like to do is take a few photos of the piece alone. So that's without any props or other furniture or plants. So you just take some photos to get to test your lighting and shadows and see how your piece fits into the frame to allow for your cropping in your square. So this is just really helpful for us, and it saves us so much time because once we've got that furniture where it needs to be, it looks good. You're not moving it around and then taking photos and then moving something again. So you can start building from there after that and fill in your spaces. So whether that's hanging art or photos above it, or adding your chair or plant beside it and your other props later, this beginning part of just getting that spot where your furniture piece is and those first few photos for you is just really going to save you a lot of time. And then it just really streamlines the process for you. And if you continue doing it that way, that's what works for us. So I know it seems like a simple thing, but hopefully that is helpful to you guys. And if you'd like to follow us along, you can find us at Vintage Sisters SK. Thanks, Zebra, for your continued support.
Thank you, Vintage Sisters. I think it goes without saying that when you guys offer staging tips, we all listen very carefully. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hey guys, it's Vilma from Renovable Asunso Renovable, located in Ontario, Canada. I'm a furniture artist since almost 4 years old, and Super Painting asked me to share with you what I'm working on this week. Well, I'm working on a beautiful modern classic buffet. I'm thinking on maybe leave some of the natural wood and place some stencil design on it. I still didn't decide about the color. And meanwhile, I will start by prep this piece. You know, clean, sanding, priming. Stay tuned for this piece on my social media at Renovable Sons of Renovable on Instagram and on Facebook as Renovable Sons of Renovable by Birmin Hernandez. Bye!
Hi everyone, my name is Lee from Leo Gorman Home and I'd like to thank Lane for inviting me onto the Zebra podcast. It's much appreciated. The piece I'm currently working on is a two-tier console stroke sofa table with turned wood columns. My current style of painting is using solid colour but adding interest and design by using decoupage or stenciling. The colour I'm using is Alleguin from Fusion Mineral Paint, a beautiful deep taupe. The tabletop is being decoupaged in an intricate design floral paper in taupe and grey, giving the entire piece a modern country house style. Check out my Instagram and follow my progress, and also see my other creations at leogorman_home.com. Thanks again to Lane, and happy painting and creating to you all.
Hey there, this is Sherry from Brass Walnut, here to tell you about my next piece. I have a bit of a mid-century modern obsession, and last week I snagged a basset dresser that has a half-circle motif on the top drawer for only $25. But there's a downside. It has a very bad paint job. I always tell myself, well, I'm not going to strip another piece. But here I am once again. There is some fun mystery involved in wondering how good of a condition it will be under that paint, kind of like scratching off a lottery ticket. But depending on the condition, I may use hemp oil to finish it to a natural walnut, or I might go more contemporary and whitewash the wood and use a clear poly on it. Or if there are parts of the wood with damage, I'll be doing a partial paint job on it. I'm really excited to get to work and see what mystery it holds. Thank you so very much for having me, and I hope you will check out the finished piece soon on my Instagram at Brass Walnut.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. The Zebra Review monthly contests are back, and we wanted to kick off the season by honoring our judges. Our March theme is our judges' colors. That's right. Each of our five judges have shared their favorite color with us, and you can check out those colors and be inspired by going to our post on Zebra Painting or to our judges' accounts, and they are Jen of Perfectly Imperfect Furniture, RES, Katie Cloud of Katie Cloud, Katie Scott of Salvaged by K. Scott, Lauren Schwichina of Portland Rose Studio, and Sarah of Sitting Pretty Home Decor. You get to see their colors in a piece they have refinished. You may pick one or combine a few of the colors on your piece. We are looking for an approximation of color tone that is similar to the judges' choices. It does not have to be exact. Make sure that you tag your pieces with the hashtag #TheZebraReview. All pieces have to be refinished between March 1st, 2022 and March 31st, 2022. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra's Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode, along with information about today's guest, is also featured on enjoyzebra.com under the podcast tab at the bottom. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share them by sending your emails to me at laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and happy refinishing.